Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, family.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Sister Mary.
Shalom, Brother Miles. You know, I'm going to have the phone on and off on mute because I have the grandbabies. I don't want you to hear them hollering, but I'm going to talk
right,
when
amen.
I can. Amen.
All right, amen. We'll see who else shows up. You know, when you ask people to make a commitment, sometimes that tells you who actually is in and who's actually out. And so we'll see who else shows up. But wanted to review the CCNRs for this particular property Because one of the stipulations is you can't have a church. So, you know, I'm thinking they're saying they don't want a church building on the land. Okay, so we call it something else, or we have to do it a different way. Nevertheless, I am looking into and asking the Most High, because, you know, everything is about wording. Okay, and so how you word things and how you present yourself in a transaction is what you can be held to. It's just like they're saying that the land is to be used for residential and hobby farming. And when I actually go look up hobby farming, it's where, you know, farming is not your main form of income. So, you know, you can have animals and you can grow crops and things like that, but it can't be your main form of income. In other words, they don't want you to commercialize it where 90% of the land is being farmed out or something like that, which is not what the intent was for this anyway. So as I'm looking and looking at other properties, looking at other properties and looking at what the intent of this particular ranch or subdivision of a ranch, because you know what I'm thinking is this land was probably owned by one family at one time and probably got bought out, and some developer came in and said, hey, or the family got together and said, hey, we want to sell the land off, but we want to preserve certain aspects of it. And so what I find that they want to preserve with this land is the population of the wildlife, you know, like the elk and the deers and things like that. So they don't want it so subdivided or so, what's the word I'm going to use here, so developed that it loses that quality. That's not a bad thing. What I was looking for, you know, how many residents could you have on it? There's no stipulation. You know, and what else that, you know, you could use it for, like farming. As I said, you can't commercially farm it, but even in hobby farming, you can make money. So it's a matter of understanding the definitions. So with that being said, let us do this. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. And, you know, like I said, I want to be transparent for those who come in and who are committed, going to commit. I want everything to be transparent. But then once the decision is made on where we're going to actually buy, then I don't want that to be transparent to only those who are dedicated and who don't have loose lips. Because, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Loose lips, yeah.
Want something to go bad, let the wrong people know about it, and they're telling everybody, and they're bragging about this, they're bragging about that, or, you know, that's just something that is not desirable. So, you know, I've been emailing the salesperson for this particular property that's controlling it. And I think some, you know, once I went back through the CCNRs, which I never considered raw land to actually have to have or would have a CCNR. That's like a homeowners association where they're controlling what you do with the land. But clearly for a lot of these, when I started looking more, this is indeed the case. Nevertheless, I still think that it will work and we'll be able to do what we need to do. Just have to go about it a little bit differently. So our statement of faith. We got the ladies to cover their heads. Any men? There's no man online right now, but any man listening that may be listening over the web or whatever, have you to uncover your heads. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise today, for truly he is worthy of all our praise and adoration. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for life, hallelujah, and strength today. We thank you for soundness of mind, Father. We thank you for being our Elohim and for just considering us and allowing us to come to you, Father, to worship you and to praise you and to glorify you, Father. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are kind. You are merciful. You are gracious. You are majesty upon majesty. You are glory upon glory, Father. And we worship you and you alone. Father, we give you praise right now. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Yah, for being my Elohim. Hallelujah. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Father Yah, we come before you right now. Father, we ask that you would be in this meeting, that you would bless us with your presence, that you would make your will known, that you would guide us, lead us in everything that we should decide. Let it be your decision. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All right, amen. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right, anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right, this meeting is now in order. We are discussing the purchase of the land. With this, as I said, I went back out to them because after doing some more research over the internet and how to purchase such properties, one of the things they said that you should ask for was any use restrictions on the land. And I said, okay, this is raw land, and we're buying it. It's under, it's not developed. There's no, sewer or electric. There's no, buildings. What possible restrictions could they have? But they indeed do have restrictions. And so if you got the document that I sent out earlier, which is the CCNRs, I'll give you an overview on this, but, you know, some things that we as a group need to be aware of. And, you know, no matter, you know, if the Most High says this one doesn't work out, which that may become the case. Right now I don't think it is. But if it doesn't work out, then whatever we look, wherever we look at, you know, we need, it just makes us smarter and more aware and things that we need to be aware of. So this actually has a homeowners or a, they just call it an association. And you don't have the option to opt out. Matter of fact, if you buy any of the parcels of land, then you're automatically opted in. And the first time that any of, you know, there are waivers for things, and they don't say what they will waiver and what they won't. I guess you just have to request it if it's that important to you. But from what I'm reading in the CCNRs, the first time that changes to the CCNRs, other than them annexing more properties, can be made would be 20 years. So let's say that we wanted to put up a church, a physical church building, which they don't allow right now, which when I read that, I was like, okay, what's up with this? And I'm still going to talk to the seller, because when we read this wording, it almost to me sounds like kind of satanic. I'm just saying. Why would you, you know, to me they're trying to dictate whether you can worship or not on your property. And so I know that can't be the case. But I'm going to ask the question. So if you get that document, if you go to page 6 in that document, and I had it up, page 6, general, let's see, page 6, and where are my glasses? So general restrictions and additional provisions applicable to all parcels. Residential and recreational use only. So where I wanted to buy a parcel of land and put a campground on it, what I'm hearing here is that I can't officially put a campground on it, but if I, you know, like for RVs and things like that with the electrical and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, if I use my brain for more than a hat rack, then you can probably still do the same thing, but just call it, you know, recreational camping. And don't put in a lot of the amenities. So, you know, people can come and they can't stay for a long time. You know how an RV camp, you can, as long as you're paying your lot fee and your electric bill, it's like staying, it's like a mobile residence. You know, you park there, you plug in, use the amenities of the campground, but, you know, your residence is your RV, your vehicle. In this case, we would not be able to offer long-term like that. And neither did I really see that or doing that, not having it to where people are living there on this particular piece of property all the time. But, again, I have to think this out in the wording. And then, you know, I'll run it by them before I ever even put any money down. If I do this, if I, you know, you say it can be used for recreational use only. Okay, well, I'm going to have people come and camp recreationally. And these will be the rules, that they can't do anything to harm the environment. That, you know, they have, you know, we provide the means for them to keep it clean. In other words, you know, garbage cans and those types of things that are emptied out regularly. You know, the real goal behind this was to first not let people know where the real homestead is at, but to also provide a place where if people wanted to come and keep the feast days, they were able to. So I will see, because I think part of the problem with that may be the traffic, you know, and then you know how people get. You tell them one thing and they come and they're not being mindful of any of the rules that you set forth. So it may not work out for that reason, but, you know, the still want to get two different parcels of land because I don't want anyone to know where the main body is at. So for if we read this, let me read it to you. This is their stipulations. All parcels should be used for residential and recreational hobby ranching purposes only. I didn't really know what recreational hobby ranching really meant. But basically, that is where, you know, you're not, your main income is not that, not the ranch. So let's say I'm working for Amazon and my main income is from Amazon, but I still want to raise horses and I still want to, you know, raise crops and things like that, then you can do that. As long as you don't, you know, try to put like 10,000 horses on the land for commercial purposes, or, you know, 10,000 head of cattle, then it's looking like you are, you know, it's a commercial adventure. So this is what they are trying to prevent. But as far as hobby goes, you know, my vision of what I saw was that for each 36 acres parcel, we would only be using an acre or two at the most per 36 acres for farming as people joined in. And so also within this, because they won't let a church organization own the property, then I will have to create a different legal entity to own it. But it will still be associated in a roundabout way with, you know, Yah's Global Kingdom. So it's just, you know, legal wrangling. Looking at this, as I said, reading the CCNRs and what they're trying to do, and what I see is, in, you know, if Yah doesn't return, that over a 20-year period, it would be my goal to set it as a mission for the legal entity, whatever his name is, to acquire as much property in this division as possible. Now, why is that? Number one, you know, buying land is not a bad thing to do, number one. But number two, because in 20 years, as far as the association goes, whoever owns 66% of it has a say in what happens. So if we own 66% of it and we want a church, then we just say we want a church. And, you know, and we vote with our own votes to do that. If we want to, you know, change the usage of the land, then we do that because we actually control the association. that will be something, you know, no matter where we go or what we do, I would want to kind of build that in as part of the growth of the organization, that we continue to acquire more land. And, you know, and that allows us to, as God sees fit for, you know, if there's going to be growth and, you know, people start coming that way, then the land is there. As far as their wording in here on residential, it doesn't say one resident per whatever. As a matter of fact, you know, they're talking about, you know, multiple people can own a parcel of land. And if multiple people own the parcel of land and they all wanted to build a house on it, you know, that these CCNRs don't prohibit that. So I don't see them prohibiting us, you know, putting up different dwellings for, you know, different members or families. As I said, you know, we're going to do the goal is to start off with the container houses, you know, converting containers, shipping containers to living spaces. So I don't see that being a problem either. And, you know, how close we have them grouped, that's still on us. And so community-wise, where and how we build, as long as we put in the proper sewage disposal, you know, I don't see anything else in here that precludes us from doing that. Just can't put up a church itself and say, oh, here's the church house. Or can't put up, matter of fact, can't put up any building like that that you would say is just for meetings. But if we build this the right way, thank you, Yah. If we build this the right way, then we can actually build our meeting place right into the complex itself. So we have, it says, let's read this so you understand where I'm coming from. Let me go back here, page 6. All right, so it says residential and recreational use only. So let me read this and then give me your thoughts. All parcels shall be used for recreational and recreational hobby ranching purposes only. All installations shall comply with all governmental standards and all appropriate building permits shall be obtained. No commercial or business uses shall be conducted on the parcel. This restriction shall not prohibit a home office where business is conducted through telephone, computer, or other electronic means, and where the business is not apparent from the exterior. In other words, you can't say my IT solution, computer repair outside. Does not create noise or unreasonable increase of amount of traffic or parking, and preserves the residential nature of the subdivision. So this subdivision is the subdivision of the parcels. Even though you might have 36 acres, they're looking at each 36 acres as part of the same subdivision. No medical facilities, hospitals, clinics, other facilities for treatment or care of physically or mentally ill or disabled are prohibited. So facilities for the treatment or care of animals are also prohibited. No churches, camps, retreats, or clubs, churches or other institutions organized for religious worship or discussion, camps, retreats, schools, and clubs are prohibited, as are buildings used primarily as clubhouses and meeting facilities. So this I have to specifically ask them, are you trying to tell me I can't worship on my own property? Because I think that that's actually probably illegal. Okay. Discussion. Questions. Thoughts.
So we can't, I don't get it. We can't have a church on the property.
Right.
Is
they don't want you to have a church
property that
building.
We'll look at or something? Or that's just
say
that
again?
One?
Any
other property?
I didn't hear what you were saying.
Any other property that we may look at, is it going to have these restrictions as well?
They may. I have him, this actual salesperson, after he sent me to CCNRs and I saw that. I asked him to also look for some other properties that didn't have these restrictions. He said he would look for me. He would look for me, and it would take a couple of days. So I'm waiting for him to come back to me. But, you know, again, when you read these CCNRs, again, everything is in, you know, you have to be a, have to have attention to detail. So I'm going to read something to you, and I'm going to give you an ideal, a thought. Let me, all right, no church, camps, retreats, or clubs. Churches or other institutions organized for religious worship or discussion, camps, retreats, schools, and clubs are prohibited, as are buildings used primarily as clubhouses or meeting facilities. All right, now, I'm almost 99% sure that the first part of this is kind of illegal. But, you know, I have to check it in with a lawyer, because it can't, you know, if you're saying you can't have, if you use your home for worship, then they're saying you can't do that. If you use your home for religious discussion. So this has to be illegal to that degree. But on the other part, the second part of this.
I would think it'd be like you renting the property, not purchasing it.
Yeah, well, see, even when you buy land, like you, if you want mineral rights, you got to make sure you have mineral. Like, let's say you want to dig the dirt out of the ground. You can own the top of the land and not own the bottom. Underneath the ground.
Get out of here.
And then, like, with a lot of people, you know, putting up, like, wind farms.
Right.
Like, you know, the windmills to create electricity.
Right.
Even that above that, you know, they've gotten to the point where they, you got to have, say, you got the rights to that. So, yeah, when you buy the land, they can say, well, we're selling the land, but it's restricted to this use. And if you buy it, you know, you're saying you agree to it. Or you have to find a legal way around it.
Oh, I was just about to ask you, how can they tell you what you can and cannot do?
Yeah, you have to find a legal way around it. So, number one, the first question I would ask, hey, you're saying that churches and other institutions organized for religious worship or discussion, camps, retreats, or schools and clubs are prohibited, as are buildings used primarily for a clubhouse. So they're saying, so my question is going to be is, please explain this clause to me, number one. And number two, if that's what it means, give it to me in writing. Because, you know, with just like with this document right here, you can only hold them and they can only hold you to what's in what?
Writing.
In writing. So, so I could come back and say, well, I pray in my house and I discuss religion in my house. What say can you have over that? And of course they're going to come back and say none. So what they're not wanting is something that, as it says, here is where I see the loophole, okay? As our buildings used primarily primarily as clubhouses or meeting facilities. But if you construct the buildings in such a way, like let's say we're building residence, because you can build residence, right? So it's to be used for residential and recreational use only. So if you're, it doesn't say how many residents you can build, didn't say how they have to be constructed. So if we construct it in such a way that the meeting place is part of the residential place, then they can't say that the building is primarily used for what?
Worship.
For meetings. Now, what you use it for, that's on you, but they can't say that that's what its primary use is for. Because the primary use is your what? Residence.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
So, you know, in dealing with, you know, that's why they have lawyers, right? To deal
right.
with legalese.
Right.
Because what you may think the law is saying and what it's actually saying, or because they have, you know, because of the way they have it written, you find people that find ways around it, what, all the time?
Yeah.
You just have to,
find a loophole.
Right, find a loophole. So if we are building community and we're all residents, and the way I have it is, you know, every person will be a certain percentage owner, even if it's 0.001, so that no one person could just, you know, take over everything or anything like that. But as far as the legal documents go, we're all owners. So, you know, we all have an investment in the property, in other words. And they can't say what your right is to the property because they don't control that.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's a matter of, like I said, reading their CCNRs, reading their legal requirements and saying, okay, well, if I structure myself this way, it doesn't break their CCNRs, doesn't break their document, but I'm still doing what I want to do. So I think no matter where we go on by, unless it's like in the middle of really, really nowhere with nothing around, nowhere, period, and zoned, like if you want, you know, if you want to use land for commercial use, it's got to be zoned for commercial use.
Yeah.
So if I wanted, you know, most big farms where they're, you know, all they do is grow food, they are zoned for commercial. And that's what, you know, for agriculture. Well, we're not really looking to do that. And so the truth of the matter is we want to be able to support ourselves. That's what we want to do. And so being, you know, taking an acre or two every 36 acres, even if we wanted to do more than that, we probably could because, you know, as I'm looking at the farming techniques for making the land productive, we don't, you know, to feed a group of people, we don't really need a whole lot of land. We just have to, we just need to farm smartly. And the smaller the acreage that you take, you know, the you can really grow a lot of food on an acre of land. A lot of food on an acre. And so, you know, as I'm looking at this thing and you know, planning, I don't see us anytime soon farming more than an acre of land. Because in an acre of land, you can get just, like I said, it's just so much food. Matter of fact, on an acre of land, I've looked up farms, people who do this and have done it or are doing it, you know, they're making like $250,000 a year off an acre of land. Okay. So it's not, you know, it's about doing it correctly and sectioning it off and then rotating, you know, rotating crops so that you don't, you know, if you grow one type of crop all the time, those crops require certain minerals. And if you grow that crop all the time, it's going to suck those minerals out of the ground and deplete them. And so in probably 7 years, that crop wouldn't be able to grow there anymore because you would have, what, depleted the soil. But if you rotate the crops, so you say, okay, we're going to grow cabbages and greens and these types of things and onions and tomatoes and all this kind of stuff, but we don't grow it in the same place every year. So just as an example, in you know, section A, we have tomatoes, section B, onions, section C, cabbage, section D, greens. Then the next year, we would rotate the plot that we grow them in. We wouldn't grow the same vegetable in the same section. And so that keeps the ground healthy. So it's those types of things. And then, like when I did my garden here, you know, when you look at when you go by the seed packets that you get to start growing, they'll tell you, you know, to place them so far apart.
Yeah.
Like a foot apart. And everything that I found, it says, no, you don't do that. You sort of just draw a line and put a bunch of seeds in it. And when it comes up, you know, they look crowded and stuff, but they actually grow better that way than if you try to space it apart. So what the seed manufacturers recommend and what the actual farmers and the people who are actually doing it are saying, don't do that. And so, you know, as long as you got rows in between, you know, that you can move up and down in, you really want it to be packed. So, you know, it's just a matter of learning what to do and how to do it. So on an acre of land, I'm really thinking that you probably feed, if we're not trying to sell anything, but, you know, we're jarring, we're canning, once we can start taking it off the land, we're jarring and canning and, you know, and drying out those things that we need to keep, then we could probably feed off an acre of land, 200-300 people, easy. Very easy. Because, you know, like I said, it is all about how you do it. So even the equipment, because, you know, I thought about, well, are we going to need a tractor or something like that? But no, you know, we got one of these walk-behind tractors that is, if you've ever seen those, you know, the tillers that people get to till their yard or the garden, these are just a little bit bigger, but they, you know, allow you to do it more efficiently. One of those is relatively cheap. It would be a priority. And it's doing 99% of the work as far as, you know, turning the ground over and creating the raised beds and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm looking at, especially starting off, that, you know, we're not looking at farming. We got 200 acres and we're looking at farming, you know, 90 acres or 50 acres. No, we won't. I don't see us getting to that point for a minute. If we farm correctly and we use best practices, we use those things that are known to work. And, you know, where it doesn't work, we just need to what? Learn.
Mm-hmm.
What did we do wrong? How do we do it, you know, what went wrong? How do we do it better? So, yeah, that's, I don't see us using per 36 acres more than a land for 36, more than an acre for 36 acres of land to grow food. And we should be able to supply for everyone more than enough for everyone that is that should come. And then if it, you know, if it does get that way, then we just block off another acre for each 36. And that should be able to handle it. The food production, I'm not actually worried about. It's more so what they will allow us to use the land for. And so, you know, getting around, like I said, they're CC&Rs. It's we're buying the land, and you're trying to dictate that, you know, I can't do X, Y, and Z, but if I want to do X, Y, and Z, then I need to figure it out and do it in such a way that it doesn't break, you know, the CC&Rs, and they can't come back and say, well, oh, you violated this. No, the CC&R says that the building can't be used primarily for this. It's not being used primarily for that. This is what it's being used for. We live, we wake up in it every day. We go to sleep in it every night. We eat our meals here. But if we're also having church, it's no business of yours.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me. That's why I know part of this has to be illegal. So I think that, you know, I can go to them and say, okay, I want a waiver for this. Because, you know, I can just use my family alone. We worship the Most High Elohim, and you're telling me that I can't have religious worship or discussion in my own house the way this is written. So I want a waiver. If not, then this is what I'm going to do. So we are awful quiet.
Well, I'm listening to you.
Well, I am too. I'm listening.
I'm listening because we learning about stuff too. And
amen.
I can't talk and learn at the same time. I ain't that good.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm learning.
One of the things that, you know, I think the Most High, you know, blesses me with is, you know, being able to look at situations, and I'm not a crooked person. I really don't try to do, you know, don't try to get over. I don't try to take advantage of people. But also I know that when it comes to all of these things, it's just like when we're talking about covenant. This, you know, if we don't understand legalese, and you are accountable for what's written, but you have to make sure that you understand what's written.
Yeah, what's written, yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, because when they take you to court, they're going to be like, your deed says this.
Right.
Right.
You know, and if you don't have an understanding of what it means, you know, or if you went by what you thought, only to find out legally it doesn't mean that. It's just like, okay, when a cop stops you and says, do you understand? What does that mean?
Do you know why he stopped you?
Do you know why he stopped you? That's what you guys are saying, right?
Right.
That's not what that means.
It's not?
No. Do you understand? Do you Do you stand under me? Do you submit yourself? That's what that means.
Okay. I get you. I get you.
So legally, you might think, is he asking you, do you comprehend?
Right.
But in the court, are you placing yourself up under his authority? And that's legalese. So that's why you need a lawyer, because they are supposed to understand what those, they are supposed to comprehend and understand and represent you if you go into the court system. But, they all work for the court system. So typically,
right.
It's all one big game. But
yeah.
if you have a legal mind and you look up things it's just like most things, most international affairs are governed by maritime law, the law of the sea. So if you want to understand, that type of stuff, like merchandise being shipped from one country to another, when it docks at the port, all those things are legal terms, and they have specific meanings. And so even a lot of citizenship documents are based upon maritime law. But we think, it's the law of the land. No, it's the law of the sea that governs it. So it's different. Just like the United States. The United States itself is a corporation. The courts are a corporation. The sheriff's department is a corporation. So what law do you think you need to know to navigate this country?
Corporation law.
Right, you need to know corporate law. That's why if you look at a bill that comes in your name, make sure of this, because I'm 99% sure of this. But look at any bill that you get and see if your name is not in all caps.
Yes, it is. And I was wondering that.
Because that's what makes you a corporation. You yourself are a corporation, whether you filed to be a corporation or not. It's called a straw man. So it is illegal for the United States government to tax you, the individual, personally. So what they did was your birth certificate, your Social Security card were used to register you as a corporation.
Right.
And so there's two you.
Yes.
There's a corporate
yes,
you and then there's the personal you.
Right.
But we
I
have
was
to
shocked
know
when I found that
because,
out.
Yeah, it's different laws. This country is ran by corporate law.
Yeah, your numbers on the back of your birth
certificate. Understand what your rights are up under corporate law, and you actually have to. You can actually go file for your own corporate, file for your corporate entity that they created.
That's what my friend did in Atlanta, Brother Miles.
Huh?
No, they don't. I said,
yeah, they don't make
that's what, hold on. That's what my friend did in Atlanta, Georgia, him and his family, he found that out. And it took him and his wife 2 years to do it, but they went to every meeting, everything. And they got their sovereign now. I guess it's their sovereign and got cards.
Right.
But my other friend did it, and he's in the military. And they attacked his house. They, I guess the FBI or somebody came in his house and shot it up, saying that they heard that there were drugs in there or something. but it wasn't because of that. It was because he was getting too close. He was in the military, and he was trying to become sovereign as well. But they're the ones that taught me that we're a corporation.
Yeah, you're saying that you're no longer – when you become sovereign, you're saying that you're no longer a citizen of this country.
Right.
Hmm.
Okay, and you know, you can declare your own country. You can make your own country. You can make your own money if you know all the things to go through. Okay. And, I have the paperwork on it, and at one time I was going to do it, and then when I found out that the way that they had to set up to do it, they wanted you, number one, to become, you had to become part of the Moorish Science Temple. Your citizenship was actually in Morocco, but you were considered to be, a sovereign. But they also, as becoming a citizen, becoming part of that system, you also have to worship Molech. And people, they don't tell you that. But I got the paperwork, and I'm like, what? Because if I'm doing something, I don't leave nothing to chance.
Right. I don't blame
you. And I'm like, this is a guy the Most High say he don't like.
Hmm.
Right.
And I'm going to sit here and become part of this and say that I'm, worshiping, even though I would never worship Molech, even to just be associated.
Right.
Right.
I said no.
Right.
Can't do it. Not going to do it. So the very way that I set up Yah's Global Kingdom is the way they set up sovereignty, and that's what we are, sovereigns.
Thank you.
Amen. So we're not worshiping Molech. Amen to that. Amen.
We're worshiping the Most High Elohim.
Right.
So, the status
that
they were always saying, you got to get this status. I didn't get it for myself, but I got it for the organization. And being a member of the organization and living by the tenets of the organization. That's why I said, we have to look at citizenship completely different.
Hmm.
When everything is all said and done, this is a sovereign organization. It's a sovereign entity. But it also happens to be faith-based. So it falls outside of the purviews of all governments. No matter where I go in the world, they would recognize this as a sovereign entity. So the things that, people were trying, doing for themselves, and see, a lot of the brothers doing that stuff because they got felonies and they can't do certain things. So they, they want their sovereignty to keep them, so that if you got a felony in the United States, you are a third class citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to prison, then you definitely are a third-class citizen. But when you come out, as long as you got that felony on your record, you're a third-class citizen in this country.
Wow,
and so,
I didn't know
voting
that.
Rights and where you can work at, in a lot of places, if you got a felony, you can't even be a garbage man.
You can't even work, yep.
Yep.
So it's designed that way, to keep you in bondage. We got you into the slave system. We don't want to let you out.
Mm.
So a lot of the brothers, after they didn't serve their time and then, they learned their lesson for real, they want to come out of it, but they still got this felony on their record. If they get sovereignty, then all that goes away. Because I'm no longer a citizen of this country and I'm not, legally bound to this country. Matter of fact, if you really know your ins and outs, if a cop stops you, you can say, hey, you don't have no authority over me. Just like you ever wonder how ambassadors, how they have immunity?
Mm-hmm.
They're in your country, but they're not a citizen of your country. And even if they commit a crime, you have to send them back to their own country to be prosecuted.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's all right.
So it's the same, you know, that's what a lot of the brothers are, that's what they're trying to do. But what, you know, the government will make it super hard on them. And then if you don't do everything legally perfect, if you give them any kind of little crack where they can say you didn't comply, they disregard everything. And then, like Sister Rhea said, you know, they'll come after you.
Yeah.
Everything you're doing. So, you know, you got to be above board. As I say, when we are talking about we're living a certain way, we have to be living a certain way. When we say we are representing the Most High, then we got to understand that we're citizens in His kingdom, and that's who we represent. So it is a completely different mentality. So it's like if you really knew that you were a citizen of, let's say, Spain, you would know what your legal rights are here in the States, and you would know what you could and could not do. And what, you know, like when, okay, I'll give you a classic example. When I was in Germany, and I would go from East Germany to West Germany, or from West Germany to East Germany. One was communist and one was not. As long as I was traveling on that public highway, and they gave you a book that had, you know, German in it, and if you get stopped, did you say, hey, raise this book up, raise this page up, and just put it on, you know, at the window. And they have to comply by it. So they might detain you for a minute, but they're going to have to let you go and continue, you know, to your destination because they have no legal right over you. So if the soldier didn't want to let you go, then you demand to see what his superior. Sooner or later, they're going to come to the point that, okay, you are a U.S. citizen and we don't have any legal right over you. And unless you're doing something, you know, really, really criminal, they can't really hold you. Like if you're speeding, that's not really, really criminal. Now, if you kill somebody, that's a whole other thing. They could hold you and say, hey, we got him up on murder. Put you in their jail and try you up under their system. But typically, most crimes that they could hold you for, they would have to be really, really serious crimes. Other than that, you had immunity. And typically what was happened, because they stopped you and they held you up, when you got to the other end, you'll get a ticket because you took too long. Because they give you so many hours, you know, to traverse that distance. And if you don't make it in time, or you come in too fast. Just say they didn't stop you, but you were driving too fast and you came in. It's supposed to be a two-hour drive or a three-hour drive, and you did it in 2 hours. They know you were speeding. They give you a ticket. So that's usually how they would govern that kind of stuff. But, you know, this is an education process, and like I said, when the Most High had me to set this up, he had me to set it up this way. I've studied all those documents that those people do, and the CCNRs, the CCRs, or the maritime law, corporate law, to know the different little nuances in them and how important they are. That's how come I know covenant with the Most High is important. It's a contract. How are we going to honor and be held accountable for the contracts that men make? We make with men, but then we don't want to be held accountable for the contracts we make with the Most High. And he's the creator of them. So I know that it's very important and crucial to us that, you know, we enter into the covenant, that we don't break it. Because the whole contract becomes null and void. You break your lease, you do something against your lease, and they want to, they can kick you out of your apartment, right?
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
So they say that, oh, yeah, you signed it for 12 months, but you broke broke it, you subleased it to somebody, and we said you couldn't sublease it. And they can kick you out. Or they say no pets, and then you get a pet. Technically speaking, they don't have to charge you a pet charge. They can just kick you out because you're in violation of the lease.
Right.
It's the way with all contracts. That's why when going through this, going through these, this CC&R, I'm looking for what? Loopholes. I'm looking for the way they have it worded. Because it's about, okay, if you are saying that I can't do a certain thing or you're restricting me in it, but the way you have it worded, I could do it this way and do the same thing. As long as I'm meeting the requirements of your wording, you can't really say anything to me. You might not like it, but you can't say anything.
Yes, yeah.
And you can't say that I'm in violation. I just found a way, because of the way that you had it worded, I found a way around it. So in this one, you know, just the no churches and what have you, or any meeting places, and it, the key word here is used primarily, mainly for that reason. Well, if we don't use it mainly for that reason, then they can't say anything about it. So here is the meeting place, but it's adjoined to our residence, and we don't use this as part of this one structure, this residence. We don't use this mainly for, we might use this room mainly for meetings, but we don't use the building because it says building mainly for meetings. So it's all in legalese, you know, looking and seeing what they have written and then structuring yourself as such that, yeah, I'm meeting your requirement, but I'm still doing what I want to do. And they call those loopholes. Let's continue. So no medical facilities or like veterinarian clinics, sanitary facilities, toilets or other sanitary facilities shall be water flush devices or other governmental approved wastewater disposal systems located within a residence. Wastewater shall be discarded into a county or other appropriate governmental agency approved septic disposal system located on the parcel. In other words, you can't have no outhouses. Can't go dig a hole, put a toilet over it, and say, okay, that's the bathroom. Because I'm sure that we have been on road trips and went to a rest area and or to some temporary place, and that's what somebody did. Go use a bathroom, and it's just a hole in the ground. But it's got a toilet over it. Like they do that in Alaska. I don't really care for that because that just stinks.
Yeah.
You know, so really they're just saying, hey, you got to put in some type of water flush system that, you know, you use the bathroom and you it rinses out with water. It flushes down the toilet and ends up in what? A septic tank. And as I said, one of the precursors were to get a one of those, what they call it, a little bobcat, and rough all that out. But, you know, you first have to look and say, okay, where are we going to put things at? And where would a residence be? Because we don't want the septic tank to be, we want the water to be able to flow away from the residential area far enough, but into a septic tank that, you know, you're not going to, if it backs up, it's not backing up right next to the house.
Yeah.
is backing up, you know, away from the house. So it just takes a little bit of planning. And to rough that in, and that's probably the cheapest, you know, the cheapest form of disposal besides the hole in the ground. It just requires, you know, PVC pipe is not, it's not expensive. So to put in, you know, a sink or a toilet or that kind of stuff, that type of plumbing, it really just takes the planning and making sure that you grade the land or, you know, you dig the hole, not the hole, yeah, but the hole. You dig into the dirt at an angle such that the water is going to, you know, always drain away. So the pipes are going to be going, what, downhill. And when you flush, then it's not going to be a flat area where it just flushes and sits there, but it's going to flush and flow downhill. Don't have to be that big of a, you know, a slope. Because water, as long as you got a little angle downhill, the water's going to flow downhill. So it's that type of stuff. So, you know, what I am looking at is saying, okay, in this type of environment, how many residents would we want to put in close proximity? Because that'll be determined, you know, what size of a septic tank or system would need to be put in. So if one is, you know, if it's for one family, then it would be this size. Then I would say, okay, if we're going to try to do 5 or 6 or 7 families within a certain range, then I would want them all to go to the same septic system, but I would want it large enough they would handle, you know, handle that many people. So it's just planning stuff and making sure, you know, that we have foresight, that don't just jump and do something and only to find out, you know, that was a big mistake. So to plan it out. But yeah, let's continue. So yeah, they're wanting to put in, they don't want you to have, like I said, no outhouses. Can't go and dig a hole, put a toilet on top of it. Like I said, I wouldn't want that anyway.
Nah, me, that don't sound sanitary.
No, but you know, in Alaska, a lot of the houses are that way.
Yeah, I know. In fact, you said that.
Yeah, I mean, it is, and for years, that is what people had. Before they had, you know, the sewer the way we got it today, that's all they had was an outhouse. So you went and built a house, and then you built your little shed in the back and dug a hole and put a toilet on top of it, and that was your bathroom for everybody. I don't like it. And with how simple, you know, it's one thing if you don't know, but how, or can't, but how simple it is to put in plumbing. As I said, it just has to be planned. And once you understand, you know, how it works, then it really is simplistic. So, no, I would not want to do the outhouse thing. But I would want to do plan it so that, you know, even if we started with one facility, the toilet and that kind of stuff would already be of such that, you know, it is already built in, and we have made we have, you know, provided for that. Because, yeah, I would not want to go to no outhouse and be smelling everybody.
I know, huh?
Yeah, that's just, I don't even want to smell myself, so I know ain't nobody going to want to smell me. Be running from myself. Setbacks. All structures except fencing, which must be set back in accordance with easements note on the result survey, shall be built at a minimum of 50 feet from all parcel side boundaries. So in other words, you can't put a fence directly on your boundary. You got to set it back, and they're saying 50 feet. And that's to allow for, let's say, if they need a road to come in, a public road or whatever, around the boundary of your property, then that easement makes sure that you don't go over on your neighbor's property, but also leaves a corridor so that, you know, if any public works are going to be done, it leaves room for that. So if they wanted to put a one-lane road, a dirt road, through there, they could. So, you know that 50 feet from your fence is still your property, but you can't put your fence all the way up to the property level, you know, the property board. That's what setbacks mean. Okay. Vehicles. Any motor vehicle under repair or inoperable may not be parked on any roadway or other easement. That means that 50-foot, you know, you can't have a vehicle on the outside of your property line or within 50 feet of the outside of your property line. When parked on a parcel, such motor vehicles must be hidden by walls, fences, screens, such as not to be visible from roadways or from other parcels. So, you know, again, if you're talking about 36 acres per parcel, and an acre is not that small, then they're saying on the edge of your parcel, you can't have what? These broken down vehicles.
Down car.
Or vehicles that, you know, are inoperable. But if it's in the middle of your property and can't nobody see it, then they ain't got nothing to say. So say if we buy 170 some odd acres, then we're saying probably within 50 feet of the edge of 50 feet of the edge of those properties, we couldn't have any broken down vehicles. You know, vehicles that are just broken down and can't be moved and they're being worked on. They can't be visible from where? Somebody else's property or from the road. Right. But, you know, if you are, like I said, if it's 100 and some odd acres, then you got a lot of land to play with. And I don't, you know, I would never want somebody coming and trying to use it for a junkyard anyway.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody came and their vehicle broke down, then, you know, we're going to want to repair it. But then if it's non-repairable, the engine is gone, and they don't want to replace the engine, then, yeah, we need to tow it out of here. They got junkyards made for this. Just because we got the land don't mean that you get to leave it.
Sure.
Livestock. No swine shall be raised. I'm not against that.
Not at all.
No swine shall be raised, bred, or kept on any parcel.
Yep.
The parcel may be used for non-commercial ranching. So non-commercial ranching, like I said, that's hobby ranching. That means that we're not going to go buy 1,000 head of cattle.
Uh-huh.
We're not going to go buy 500 horses because then it becomes not hobby. We're not going to take horses and store them for other people. But then you become a kennel.
Hmm.
But if it's for, you know, if we wanted cattle for our own consumption, then, you know, they're just saying what's reasonable. Well, what's reasonable can be dynamic. It's up to what interpretation. So if we got 10 people and we got a couple of head of cattle, not going to say anything. If we had 10 cattle, they probably wouldn't say anything. If we had 100 people and we had 30 heads of cattle, they're probably not going to say anything because we say, hey, it's for our own consumption. If we had, like, you know, 15 sheep and we use the sheep for the meat, they're not going to say anything about that because it's for our own consumption. But when we start trying to, you know, grow livestock so that we can take it and sell it at you know, like a real commercial farm, you know, you can sell so much and still be considered to be a hobby. Because you're not, it's not, well, we don't make all of our money from selling livestock. Like, we don't make all of our money from selling the fruits and the vegetables that we grow. It's not how we support and pay for things. We can sell some of it, yeah, and still make, like I said, I've seen where people are making $250,000 off of an acre. But if we, you know, take part of that and use it to buy more land, sell and buy more land because we can't consume it all, we can't can it all, they ain't got nothing to say about that because it's not what we are primarily there for. So, again, it comes down to you understanding what you can and cannot do. So it says, under no circumstances shall a stockyard, dairy, riding stable, kennel, or any commercial activity involving the animals be permitted. You know, if you're doing it to, like I said, to as a primary business and you got a name up on the, you know, fence or anything like that, you can't do that. But if it's for your own consumption and you're selling, you know, what you can't consume yourself, then that's called hobby. It's when we get to the place where if we were trying to, like I say, raise livestock and, you know, we got 1,000 head of cattle and, you know, that's what we do all the time and that's what we're into. That's how we fund everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does.
Okay. Now, nuisance activities. This is where I said if I did a campground, and we know how Hebrews act, people act in general. Public events are prohibited. The unnecessary, prolonged, or indiscriminate creation of noise, including road racing and loud music, dust, fumes, or odors, is prohibited. In order to ensure the safety of all owners, to limit noise, and to preserve the presence of the resident herds of elk, deer, and antelope. Outdoor recreational shooting is prohibited, as are outdoor shooting ranges. So, couldn't set up a shooting range on the property. Doesn't mean we can't learn how to shoot. I understand and I agree with this, you know, that they want to, you know, preserve the presence of the wildlife, the herds of elk, you know, the deer and the antelope that are native to the land and have been there, and you can't hunt them unless things just get really bad, and then, you know, people are going to, that's what they call poaching, right? People go kill animals illegally. But I think if things really got that bad to where, you know, society had fallen apart, if you had to eat and you kill one of them, yeah, there probably wouldn't be anything said. The thing is that if it got to that, at least you have them on the land to do it to. You know, so if you got to eat, you got to eat. And so I don't think that would, you know, what the goal is to not deplete the herds so that, you know, in this case, you're not losing their natural beauty. But again, if society fell apart, And, you know, there's no stores open. You can't get meat any other way. You know, those animals become fair game.
Oh.
So, yeah, we're not going to be, you know, not the intent is to live off those animals. But should the need ever come, trust me, if I'm alive, we don't have any sheep or we don't have any cows or there's no stores open. We can't get to stores. We can't do anything like that. That's what I'm running across the range.
Babby's in trouble. Babby's in trouble.
Right. And we're going to thank y'all for him, too.
Man, amen.
So, you know, I look at that and we don't want to destroy the habitat. I understand what they want. They don't want to destroy the habitat. They don't want to commercialize it so much that you drive, you know, these elk and these deer out, because elk and deer and antelope and those type of grazing animals, they'll be competing with your what? With your sheep, with your cattle. Because they graze too. And so, you know, they're saying that they don't want this particular area to become used for that. You know, it's like when the pioneers came across, you know, the middle of the country, they would, you know, have all these big herds and stuff, and that's really why they killed off most of the buffalo, because the buffalo were in such big herds, and, well, people are just evil, too. Because how are you going to, something that big and all that meat, you're just going to kill it for the hide, you know, kill it and dehide it and then leave the whole carcass on, you know, on the plain. So you're not, you know, you're not killing to eat. So, and then those animals were competing, you know, they knew that they wanted that land to ranch, you know, to farm. So they were just killing it off because they couldn't really, they didn't know how to control them at the time. But, yeah, we don't want to take the land and then be dependent upon the antelope and the elk and all that kind of stuff for our main food. If it came down to it, just telling you now.
You say lullaby baby.
Be like, what happened to that elk? And I'd be over there like, look at
elk.
What elk?
What elk?
You're right, what elk? What are you talking about? Okay, rubbish and storage. No parcel shall be used or maintain as a dumping ground for rubbish or open storage area. So, you know, they just want to make sure that you're not coming in there and trashing the place.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that comes back to, you know, if we are composting, you know, those things that like our garbage, you know, food waste, bones, mm-hmm. and, you know, plant matter, you can compost that stuff and it'll, you know, just decompose. But then, you know, we got a big problem today is plastics.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Plastic bottles and cans and all that
yeah.
other type of refuse, they don't really want you leaving it there, you know, or creating an open dump. And so I would have to look more into this aspect of it, you know, because you don't really have garbage removal. Now, you don't have a city truck coming by and picking up garbage. So we would have to, you know, have to make a way that we either burnt it, that we didn't use a whole lot of plastics, things that if you throw it in the ground, it don't, you know, like plastics don't deteriorate. They don't, you know, the sun, right. Now the sun will cause plastics to break down and they become brittle, but they still stay in the ground and stuff. So we would probably be burning a lot of stuff off or not even using in as much as possible, you know, those things. And if we did, then we'd have to find a way to reuse it or whatever. But, you know, it's something that we have to look at to come up with a long-term sustainable solution. So that, you know, we're not getting these heaps and heaps of garbage that, oh no, don't go over there because that's the dump. We would need a way to, you know, actually control it and keep it, you know, where it was down and manageable. Any questions so far?
I don't have any.
No, sir.
Okay. Thoughts? Still consuming?
Yes.
I'm just excited. I'm just gonna pray. I'm gonna continue to pray for you, pray for this whole adventure, and I'm excited. I'm really excited in Jesus' name. I really am. One day at a time.
Amen. Well,
but I'm grateful and thankful that you.
We are going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do it. I am already committed to it. I've already, you know, told the Most High when he showed it to me, you know, this has never left me. So, it's going to happen. It's not a pipe dream. It's not anything like that. You know, I just want to make sure that I'm a good steward at it. And don't want to, you know, make it to where people, you know, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Amen.
You know, so, I want, you know, the Most High's blessings, and I want him to give us favor. Nothing comes without some type of trial or tribulation. We just got to be faithful to it. So, yeah, this is gonna happen. I wouldn't be doing all this digging and research just for the sake of doing it. So I'm glad that you are excited. I'm praying that we can all commit, that we work toward the same goal. You know, what I learned is that people who won't commit won't put any skin in the game. So if you got nothing to lose, then you won't really care whether it works or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't really, you know, put in if you have no investment into it.
Mm.
But if you are vested, then you're going to be committed to it because you got what they call skin in the game. That's like when you go into business with somebody and they got, you know, they got an ideal, but they don't have anything to offer. That's why most, you know, of our people can't get funding because, you know, we have a business ideal, but we don't have the down payment. We don't have the initial investment. And so they say, well, you ain't got nothing to lose. If I'm putting up all the money, what do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
And so if things get rough, what's going to make you do anything extra if you have no incentive?
Amen.
So, you know, we want people who are committed. We want people who are going to contribute toward, yeah, I'm going to do the vast majority of the initial investment. But that doesn't mean that, like I said, if you don't won't work, you don't what? You don't eat.
You don't eat.
And if
don't
you
need no free loan.
Committed, then, you know, you're going to, I know why a lot of people, you know, some of the same people aren't here this week, because I said I wanted a what this week? A commitment. I did that intentionally.
I know that.
Because a lot of people want to hear, but they don't want to do.
Amen.
They are excited, but they don't want to commit. And when things get rough, they'll be the first ones wanting to run. But didn't want to, you know, contribute anything to it. So you know, I don't just say things just to be saying them.
That's what they call freeloaders.
Right, they want a freeload. But no, unless Yah says take this person because he's providing them safety and he's going to do it through us, that would be the only way. And he would have to show me that.
Amen.
He would have
Amen.
To show me that. Other than that, I'd be like, you sound like that foolish virgin that didn't fill up your lamp.
Oh, man.
And now, here comes Messiah, here comes the bridegroom, and you want some of my oil.
Now you want some, yeah.
No, you better
no,
go
thank
find
you.
Some oil to buy.
I've been warning you and warning you.
You come back and we ain't here.
Amen.
You're not going to know where we are.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, I really want to be very biblical concerning
that. That's right.
You know, I'm not trying to be hateful or anything like that. But I know how we are and I know how people are.
Then it wouldn't be fair to the people that is contributing, Brother Miles.
I'm sorry, say that again, my
Amen.
Friend.
It wouldn't be fair to the people that is contributing and that is sincere.
Right. It is not fair to anyone. You know, you got people who, I don't know whether they feel
pay
entitled.
Pay tithes.
Yeah, don't pay tithes. Don't do anything. But then when it comes to, you know, receiving, they got their hand up.
Yeah.
You know.
You're looking for a payday and didn't work.
Yeah. You know, and I've known and met too many people that way.
Me too, bro.
You know, I've been over backwards.
There's scripture for that.
Right. There is scripture for that.
It is.
So, I, you know, like I said, I just want to go by the word of the Most High. And I want to make sure that in my judgments, I'm judging within his words. Within his, if he's judged on it, then that's the judgment. If he has left it open, then I want to judge within the precepts of his judgments, based upon his judgments. I know that there's just too many people that are hearers of the word, but not doers of it.
Amen.
So, you know, when I said what I said, there were probably four or five or six more people in the meeting last week. And some of them I hadn't seen in a minute. And so when they saw that about the land, you know, they were here for it. But then I know that as soon as I ask for a commitment, that's going to tell me who's really in. And who to invite and who not to invite. Okay. Who to tell and who not to tell. But I don't want to close them off, you know. Give everybody a chance. Because I know other people, other places that, you know, want to participate. Or they say they want to participate. But people say a lot of things.
True.
Yeah, people say a lot of things, but I'm looking for the doers. The doers of the word, the doers, that those that are truly fearing the Most High, and understand that this is not something that you step into lightly. You don't step into this lightly. So if you're committed, you're committed. And we all have to be willing to what work together. So it is something that you have to be bought into. Not brought into, but bought into. And so if you don't have, like I said, I know that if you don't have any skin in the game, then your commitment level is going to be as high as the amount of skin you got in the game.
Non-existent.
You don't have nothing to lose. How much commitment you think you're going to have?
None.
Exactly. Soon things get rough, you gone. So didn't have no commitment to it to begin with. So, no, I wasn't born yesterday, and I didn't just go into business yesterday. And so these things, I pray and I thank the Most High for the experience that He's given me, because it allows me to see things in a different light.
Yeah.
And it allows me to weed out people in such a way that we want the doers. We want the doers. So we will, we'll pray on this. I still have to have another conversation. Like I told him to look for other places that didn't have these restrictions. But again, after going through the CCNRs, and getting over my initial shock, because, when I saw no churches, that just like, that was a shock to my system. Because I'm like, the devil is a liar.
Yes, he is.
And so let me read this with a fine-tooth comb and let me pay attention to the words. And put on my legal hat and see what loopholes I can find.
Nah.
And so I believe that this is still workable. And by the time that we grow big enough to where we don't need a house to worship in, enough people come that we need, a separate building, then the design of the complex and how we're going to put it together. From the outside, people will see our dwellings. But when we go out our backyard, and if there's a roof over it, and this is where we worship the Most High, they got nothing to say about that.
Amen.
So, again, it's how you let people dictate to you or not. So I'm looking at it and saying this is still doable. I will still get there. I'll get an official ruling from them on if I want to open my land for recreational camping, because that's what it says, recreational. If I want to open it to recreational camping to the public, and I'm going to say, for the feast days, three or four times a year. And then, if the brews, I know some from Alaska that say they want to come, and some from Texas that say they want to come, at least for the feast days. I think some of them, I wouldn't just I would never just say, okay, well, yeah, we got this other thing over here. They would have to show, the Most High would have to make them say something like, you know, I wish I could do this all the time. I wouldn't, you know, be probing them for it. But they showed, you know, an interest in wanting to do it all the time. Really? How much do you really want to do that?
Hmm.
What would you be willing to do? You know, what do you bring to the table?
Math.
Yada, yada, yada. And then, you know, I would bring it to the family and say, okay, I got an interest in this family or this brother or this sister, and, you know, they expressed this. What I want you to do, if you are in that vicinity or whatever, like at a campground or whatever, I just want you to watch them. See how they act. When they don't, because people do things when they don't think nobody's watching them.
And yes, they do.
And they say things when they don't think people are listening.
If they do.
So, you know, that's usually when I pay attention, when people don't think that I am.
And they'd be quick to say, I didn't say that.
Right, but I'd be like, yes, you did.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, you did. You know, the way that I think the church that I was in, they tried to test me like that was, they really wanted to know if I was still cussing and all that kind of stuff. And so we were in cleaning out a garage, and, you know, I turned around and somebody threw a box to me. But it was kind of a big box, and, you know, when I was in the world, I might have said a few choice words. Just automatically, because, you know, it was part of my vocabulary.
Right.
You know, if you cursing all the time, trust me, a certain situation come up, you get caught by surprise, the words don't come out.
They come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when they saw that, you know, I wasn't cussing and, you know, I wasn't, you know, wasn't no reaction like that, I said, oh, y'all trying to see what's in me. I said, I put that stuff down. I said, it's got to be something really, really, really. I mean, you got to be pushing some buttons and the wrong buttons to make me go there. I said, but for all practical purposes, I'm not going there. But you go down the wrong road, and you keep going down that road. I said, it's not like the old man can't come out.
Come on now.
Just choose not to.
Right. I make it a point for him not to.
Right.
Okay,
if you really want to see him, we don't want to go down
I
that
sure
road.
Want
I don't
to.
Want anybody to push me that way.
Not
me.
Right. Yeah.
I really
it took you too long to come back.
Right.
Right. You know, and then you say some things and do some things that, you know, you regret saying or doing.
Right.
And it's just bad.
It is.
So, I don't never like going there. And I really try not to let people push me there. I will back away and walk away first.
Gotta get better at it, brother.
Cool off. Go ahead, my sister.
I didn't get better at not letting people push my buttons.
Amen. I mean, you got people who try it.
Yeah.
You know, they try to push buttons and. No, that old man, that old person, I really tried to kill them. Why are you trying to resurrect them?
I know.
So it's not that vocabulary.
And if they
that
know, like I know, they would try to leave my old person where he's at. If they know, like I know.
Amen. 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 That being said, we're at 6:49, almost 6:50. We will continue. I'll get more, you know, I'll ask more questions. Like I said, I want to ask them specifically. The way this reads, I can't even worship in my own home.
Right.
Right.
And So I want clarification on this. Just so I know who and what I'm dealing with.
Right.
And like I said, you know, I'm looking for legal loopholes. Okay, so if that's the way you are, then I already see how I'm going to get, I won't tell them that, but I'm already see how I'm going to get around this. And I'm going to live up to your words that are written. But you're not going to stop me from worshiping the Most High Elohim.
Amen.
That ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
So, let's bow our heads. Father, yeah, we come before you. Father, humble. Father, you told us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Father, give us the wisdom to do what it is that you have placed in our hearts to do. Let us be as wise as those serpents that would try to prevent us from worshiping you. But let us cause no harm. Let us be as harmless as doves. So, Father, show us how we get around all of the restrictions in the CCNRs that we want to get around that are going to prevent us from doing and completing this mission. Give us wisdom. Give us perseverance.
Yes.
Let your perfect will be done. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. I make a motion that we call this meeting that we adjourn this meeting. So I have a second.
I second.
All right.
I third.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The ayes have it. All right. We will meet again on next week. I will go specifically, like I said, I want to ask them specifically about this no churches and, no worship. And I said, this sounds like, you are trying to preclude the worship of God or whoever your God is, whomever that may be, in your own home, in your own residence. And see what they say. And then I'll ask how the waivers work. Because there's there's a provision for waivers. And so I just want to see how that mechanism works. How do we have to submit in writing, and what is the format of that? What things would they consider to be waiverable? So yes, in your CCNRs, but you will waiver. What waivers have already been granted? Because we may not be the only ones that's asking for a waiver.
Right.
For something. So if you've already granted some waivers, what things have already been waivered? Because if you waivered it for them, you cannot not waiver it for us.
Hmm.
And then on any of your other properties, because I know they own more than just this, this tract of land. Because they say their CCNRs are in line with, their other lands or properties. Then what waivers have you allowed on your other properties? Because if you already granted a waiver for it, you cannot, if I want it, you can't disallow me.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a matter of asking. It may be stuff that I'll be like, okay, I don't care about that. Don't want that. Don't, But, you know, if they're letting somebody use the land, like they let somebody have a stable or a kennel on their land, they wavered it and said, well, how are you going to waver that? And but I can't have a church. Because it's against your CCNRs. So, you know, it's just so that sometimes you have not because you what?
Have not.
So we want to, like I said, we want to be wise. We want to be, we want to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. So we're not trying to do anything illegal. And if you have a loophole, then, you know, if it's going to be do, if the loophole is going to allow me to do what the Most High wants us to do, I want to take the loophole.
Amen.
So that being said, may the Most High encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And hold on, I haven't even been looking at the screen. Shalom, my sister. Sister Nakisha.
She might can't say anything because she's at work.
Oh, okay. Well, I will go ahead and turn her phone back on mute. I've been reading this thing and not looking at the screen. But nevertheless, may the Most High keep you. May He encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And I am on call. I'm surprised. Let me make sure my phone is on. That I ain't got pages. I got like 5 pages or 6 pages, you know, right before this meeting. But I'm on call this week, so tomorrow evening, if I get Paige, we know the deal. We know the drill. I'll play a song.
Okay.
I acknowledge it and then be back at Yah's work.
Amen.
So we want to be faithful. I pray to see you all tomorrow evening. For the Sabbath precept, I don't even know what it's going to be yet. But yeah, I think I do, but He'll give it to me. And you know, I thank the Most High for you guys. I really do, because I've talked to too many people, ordinary people. When I say ordinary, I mean, you know, they're not trying to teach, and then pastors who are pastoring people. And I can only say this. The Most High, you know, you got to have a love for the Most High and for His word to hear what I'm saying and stay. Because I know it'll run a lot of people off. But you got to love the Most High and His word. And so I thank Yah for you all because you show that your love for the Most High is just as deep or deeper than mine. And that's who I want to be around.
Man.
Yeah.
All right. So remember, Yah loves you. And I actually said that I'm starting off backwards. I love you. But I can't love you like the Most High loves you.
Amen, brother.
Shalom, family.
Shalom.
And everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You're always there to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. One time for Shabbat, I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient, hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said to teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our